Hi, this is Dave Mamano, and I am on the air today on the Avanti Entrepreneur Show with a longtime entrepreneur and a friend. Known him for probably at least 10 years and really is a rock star in our Rochester, New York community. And his name is Jeff Valentine. Jeff, how are you doing?
Oh, Dave, thank you. You're making me blush already.
That's the goal. That's the goal. I went red. Hey, Jeff, you know, listen, I'm going to read your bio here really quickly so everybody can get to know you a little bit. And then I got some good questions for you. Sounds good?
Sure. Great.
All right. So Jeff Valentine is an entrepreneur and an optimist. I love that because they don't always go hand in hand, right? He has started, invested in, bought or sold 11 companies in the past 18 years for a combined enterprise value of more than $260 million. He currently serves as president of a fiber to the home company in Northern New York, where he has raised $9 million in growth capital to scale the business. Jeff is also a partner at private equity buyout firm Exium Partners, which invests in and acquires businesses with $10 million to $200 million in revenue, and has completed four investments since its founding in 2012. Prior to that, Jeff was chief marketing officer of Finality, a cloud business phone provider that he helped grow from $30 million to $45 million in sales, and then sold to NetFortress. Previously, Jeff was CTO and then CEO of Callfinity, a company he co-founded and later sold to M5 Networks, then participated in the sale of M5 to ShoreTel. Jeff is a member of the board of directors of several private companies and nonprofit organizations, including the Strong National Museum of Play, the Rochester Angel Network, and the Venture Jobs Foundation. He is a cum laude graduate of Cornell University in material science and engineering with a concentration in polymer chemistry. And he lives in Fairport, New York with his wife and two daughters, where he spends his weekends perfecting a hideously treehouse, a hideous treehouse.
There you go.
it's a private location, right? Private location treehouse. So, I've never read a bio quite like this, Jeff. So thanks for offering me one of the most unique bios I've ever read. I really appreciate that. And so a lot of companies there. I just mentioned a lot of companies, and all with very unique names. I hope I pronounced them correctly.
You nailed it. You nailed it. I will. Just hearing you say it though, I can't believe it's been 18 years. I do not feel that old yet.
But you know, it goes fast. I have an aunt. I have a great aunt who she'll be, God willing, she'll be 101 in November.
Wow.
And she's like, how did I get here? I blinked. I'm 101, you know, and every old person I know, they say the same thing, like, oh my God, how did that happen? Right. And, so it makes you think as just in life in general, but especially as an entrepreneur, when I evaluate something, I say, hey, you know what? Life's going to go by in a blink. And so I think my criteria is, will I regret this? If I'm sitting on my rocking chair at age 95, will I regret that I didn't try this? Right. And if the answer is yes, then my answer is hell yeah, let's give it a shot. Right. So 18 years of a blip in the life of Jeff Valentine. I'm sure I can't wait for the next 18 years, right? I'm sure there's so much more.
Knock on wood, please.
Yes, so, God willing. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So Jeff, great story so far. You've been a wonderful asset to Rochester. A lot of people definitely know what you've done, especially when it comes to the companies of M5 and ShoreTel. That was a very, you know, public adventure, and it was a great story. And so, you know, definitely, I think you gained some mini fame along that way. Definitely, I think I saw you in the Rochester Business Journal a few times here and there. So congratulations on that. But I would love to back up and just, you know, tell our Avanti listeners about a little bit more about you. How did you get started on this journey of, you know, getting into business for yourself? If you don't mind telling us that.
No, I'd be happy to. I'll tell you, it's a story of luck and fortune, and fortune's lost. I mean, there's good luck and bad luck, and I'll tell you, we've been through all of them, as any entrepreneur probably has. There's ups and downs and sine waves. But I'll tell you, the thing that started it all for me was I followed my wife to Boston. I originally grew up here, but she wanted to go to graduate school at BC, so we had been dating for so long. I followed her off. And I took a job. I took the highest paying job I could find. It was happened to be in a software firm where I was the demo guy. And this was the peak of the .com movement. This was like 1998, 99 in Boston. Everybody was starting a company. Everybody was raising money and people were going public. And I said, this sounds like a good opportunity. I should probably not ignore this.
Ride the wave.
And ride the wave. And I did. So, you know, with some friends from college, we started a .com. We raised a lot of money very quickly. It took a few weeks and we raised several million dollars. And we were off to the races, which was a good thing and a bad thing. Good thing in that we didn't spend a lot of time raising money. Bad thing in that I don't know that our business plan received the proper vetting. It was really a go public business plan. And as soon as March 2000 hit, we could not go public anymore. So
right, right.
The opportunity was really limited. And so we had to pivot. And unfortunately, over the next 3 years, we had to lay off most of the people that we had hired. We shrunk from 35 people to 3 people.
Wow.
I'll tell you, it's the worst thing that I've ever done. You know, people that trust you for their paychecks, for their livelihoods, for their kids' college fund, and you can't do it. That really hurt.
Yeah.
But I had to do something. I had to continue to maintain that loyalty to the investors that we raised money from. And so I moved the company to Rochester and started growing again, one customer at a time.
Wow.
Never raised money. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's a great, I mean, at the end of the day, as painful as it was,
yeah,
you learned from it. It was, you know, not a failure. It was a learning lesson.
Well, it was certainly, there were parts that were failures. I mean, I failed the people that I originally hired. I failed many times in between. As we continued to grow, we grew with much more, perhaps discipline. We didn't hire people until we had the money to do so. So we spent a lot of time, you know, just trying to figure out, can we afford the next salesperson? Will they really pay for themselves?
Right.
And turns out, we got lucky. We had really, really good people. We ended up selling the company to one of our customers. And that was a good opportunity for continued growth. And that's really what brought ShoreTel to grow in Rochester. We now have, you know, there's 200 jobs downtown across from Kodak.
Wow.
Because that's the original Callfinity office. So yeah,
wow.
I'm proud of the fact that that still persists. I'm also glad to be done with a decade long experience and on to new things as an entrepreneur. I think you can imagine, Dave, you know,
oh yeah.
Too long, but
yeah. Well, yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, you know, definitely entrepreneurs, there's so many facets to it of riding the roller coaster, and probably the biggest one, if you're, you know, just kind of a caring person, is the people. You don't want to let them down. And, you know, I'm sure you would wake up in the middle of the night thinking like, oh, how can I save all these people? I got payroll. And you care for them. You care for them and their families. And I imagine that, you know, that lesson of having to lay all those people off made you much more cognizant of how you were going to, you know, grow your company step by step so you'd be able to keep people. And then I also imagine, too, that it helped your vetting process when it comes to hiring people, too.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I think we've developed a rigor there that has served me to this day. When I bring a candidate in, no matter what the role, I try very hard to give them a practical test. People look good on paper. Sometimes people, you know, have the right experience, and they might just not be able to do the job. So for software developers, it's easy. Here's a program that we need to, you know, solve for. Can you write a program for it?
Right.
And for salespeople, it's a little more difficult, but we still try to test with practical things. And I think it's worked. I mean, I make fewer mistakes than I used to make. I'll say that.
That's great. That's great. Well, it means that you're paying attention to your mistakes and turning them into learning lessons, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
Excellent. Hey, Jeff, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show.
Automotive, travel, finance, home repairs, fine living, and more. It's Lifestyle Weekends on 1310 WOKR.
My mom's a breast cancer survivor. The United Breast Cancer Foundation saved her life. Their free breast cancer exam caught the cancer early, and it saved her life. But now the foundation needs your help so they can continue offering free or low-cost breast screening exams, saving more women's lives. Help them by donating your car, whether it's running or not. They'll provide fast, free 24-hour pickup, and you receive a charitable tax deduction, plus the great feeling you get knowing your donated car is going to help save more lives. Just call 800-515-3299 to set the wheels in motion. They take cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs, running or not. Call 800-515-3299. The United Breast Cancer Foundation needs your help, and your donation could literally save women's lives, helping them catch breast cancer early, like they did with my mom. Donate today. 800-515-3299. That's 800-515-3299.
If you or your family love the freedom of swimming any time of year, if you love sharing good times and making great memories, or if you want one of the best total body workouts ever, then it's time to discover the three C's of your very own endless pool. The first C is convenience. Imagine swimming year-round in your own private swimming pool, installed indoors or out, just steps away. The second C is comfort. With sculpted spa seats and your own adjustable temperature, you can easily escape the stress of your day. And the third C is cost. Your endless pool is an affordable luxury at a fraction of the cost of a regular pool. And here's a bonus C, choice. Because when you call for your free endless pool idea kit, you'll receive information on our full line of pools to suit your budget and location.
Call now for your free information, 800-281-4117. That's 800-281-4117.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited.
They do not give up until you pay.
They put a lien on my house.
How about you? Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start. Sometimes you just need a second chance.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
At Tax Solutions Now, our affiliates are all accredited by the Better Business Bureau and members of the National Association of Tax Professionals.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Time is running out. Call Tax Solutions now. Call 800-311-6531. 800-311-6531. 800-311-6531. 800-311-6531.
Finally, a radio station for conversation. 1310 WOKR.
We are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. This is Dave Mamano. I got a great, great guest today, Jeff Valentine, who is a rock star entrepreneur here in lovely Rochester, New York. And we almost lost him to Boston, but he came back, so we really appreciate that. and because of that, there's over 200 people working in downtown Rochester today, at least that because of Jeff. So, Jeff, thanks for making such a great impact in our community.
I'm happy to. By the way, a lot of people contributed to that. I just want to say it's worth pointing out, what brought us to the city, what brought us back to Monroe County was some county incentives. There was the Empire Zone program at the time, huge incentive to hire people. It really, really helped us. But the city itself came up with a small grant to help us build the downtown office. And the administration at the time was really supportive. I continue to hear good things about the city doing the right thing in the economic development world. So kudos to the city for making it happen.
I got to tell you, I used to work in the city before I started my company. I was in radio sales, and I work in the former Midtown Tower, right? I worked at a radio station there, and you know, this is in the '90s, and you know, downtown was dead. I mean, business people would show up, and then they would leave, and we weren't going outside for walks and jogs, and we would go to work, we'd leave, and that was it. I had lunch a couple days ago at Bronca in downtown Rochester. And I was facing the window that was showing me the view of where Midtown used to be.
Sure.
And I was in disbelief. I'm telling you, there was a stickball game going on right in the lot where Midtown was, right? And I probably saw at least 100 people throughout my lunch walk by with jogging, with dogs, with bikes, you know, just biking by. It was like a little tiny slice of looking out at a window in Manhattan. I mean, it was happening, right? Oh. And I'm like, wait, is this Rochester? You know, it's like 4 years ago, 3 years ago even. I don't think you would have seen it. And it's moving fast, all the development going down. It's, you know, there's, you know, where that whole Midtown area with everything going on down there, really, really exciting. It's almost like a renaissance of downtown Rochester.
It is. It is. You know, one of the things I'm involved with is the Strong Museum, the Strong National Museum of Play. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, we're really excited about this interloop development because it gives it's an opportunity now to connect parts of the city that were separated. You know, this area that was otherwise not walkable. Now you can basically get from Park Ave to the center of Rochester and pass all these new things, all this new construction. I think there's a wonderful opportunity there. I'm really excited to be part of it.
Yeah, you know, you look back at the quote-unquote wisdom of the government back in the day that did the inner loop, and, you know, I don't know what they were thinking. Hey, let's literally cut off our city so no one could walk into it, you know?
Sure.
And so I think that's great. So, you know, Jeff, I think that you're, you know, really good, I'll say, predictor of things. And, you know, what do you think, you know, for the next 3 or 5 years, if you were advising the leaders of Rochester on you know, really making sure that all the progress continues, you know, what things would you say, you know, to continue doing? And are there any warnings or any things that you would advise them on just as they're continuing to, you know, hopefully fuel this renaissance?
Sure. Well, I'll share some things that I know have worked for me, and maybe some things that haven't worked for me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to tell anybody how to do their job, but I'll see today. I'll probably talk to 3 or 4 different companies in a week, and I met 2 of them today. These are companies that are starting and growing and raising money here in Rochester. They're doing so because there's an infrastructure that wasn't there 20 years ago. In the past, there weren't a lot of funding sources. Today, there are multiple funding sources for early stage businesses. There's, whether it's a lifestyle business or a high growth startup, there's more money now than ever. So we've done the right things to sort of lay the foundation to do that. In fact, until recently, there was a gap. The next stage of funding after you raised your couple $100,000 to start a company, there's really very few places you could have gone for a few $1 million. Now there are even more. More money has been raised recently to go invest in Series A startups here in Rochester and this part of New York State. So I think great opportunity there, because now we have capital to follow the talent that has been begging for it for so long. Groups like Accel Partners are just doing a fantastic job. So that's number one. We got to make sure we maintain a flow of early stage capital, or we will not get a flow of early stage companies. And that drives growth. It's net new growth. The second thing that I've seen that works is, you know, being able to connect outside of your circle. This is tough, but I sit with people on a monthly basis that never go to Buffalo or Syracuse. And there are people from both Buffalo and Syracuse that come to Rochester to try to connect and build a corridor between our groups. There's really no reason why there should be an us versus them. It should kind of all be us. And I'd like to see more of that. I've seen it work in the past. I've seen communities grow when they are more inclusive of larger areas. And I think that's an opportunity for us that we can continue to take advantage of.
Absolutely. I mean, it was almost we should consider Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, although we obviously have our very unique identities. But when it comes to economic development, why not consider us just like one big region, right? I mean, it's right. So many, you know, years ago, about 12 years ago, I started, at the time it's called YEO, Young Entrepreneurs Organization, and now it's EO. So it's just, you know, the Y standard for young, right? And then they wanted to keep us. They wanted to keep our membership dues, so they dropped the Y, right, as we got old. And it just became EO. And so, you know, I started locally, Ralph DeAndrea, a couple other guys, we got it going. And then I met the president of the Buffalo chapter. And great guys, guy Brian Bro, and you know, we had like, I don't know, 15 members. They had like 25, and I met Brian, great guy. We really hit it off, and I suggested to Brian, I go, you know what, aren't we better in volume? And so we ended up combining chapters, you know, and so we had more money to bring in more speakers and more resources for the entrepreneurs. We just became Western New York, you know, EO Western New York. And actually Syracuse didn't have its own chapter at all. So we would take Syracuse people too. And it was great. It's great having those connections to Buffalo, Rochester and Syracuse all in once. I absolutely agree with you. And, you know, and as this area quote unquote has its, you know, suffers and people say, you know, people leaving, et cetera. And I still love it. And I know a lot of people love it and a lot of people still moving here. I think it's great if we could, you know, band together and work together towards making this region of the country a great, great place. So.
Well, that's it. Yeah. I'll say, you know, I used to fly a lot, a lot, like mm-hmm. every week. And what always got me was being on a plane next to somebody else that's from Rochester and talking to the guy across the aisle who, you know, is asking, what's it like to be in Rochester? And the person from Rochester, not me, the other person from Rochester is saying, well, it's nice, but you got to live through the winter. Or, geez, you know, you got all the snow. And, you know, if that's the story we want to tell about Rochester, that's what we're going to get.
Right.
We're not going to get the excitement. We should be telling the story of economic development, of opportunity here, of low cost of living. We've got, you know, a tremendous amount of intellectual capital here that other regions don't have. We've got to tell that story and not focus on, oh, yeah, you got to shovel the sidewalk.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, people like to talk about the negatives, but there's so many positives. And, you know, in fact, I was just at a great conference downtown today, in fact, and it was Innovative Solutions had a tech conference, and it was their first one, and they brought a lot of different people together. And the chamber put out this book that they passed out, the Greater Rochester Chamber of Commerce. I think it's a free book, even if you just call them. It's called We Rock, 100 Reasons to Love the Rochester Finger Lakes Region.
Love it.
And yeah, and you know, I just started reading it, and I, you know, it's like there is so much here that I, you know, I'd be like, I would love to be next to that guy in the plane and say, well, let me go through this book with you, you know.
Right.
I think another thing that we have to remember too is Rochester is, it's just so damn smart. And I hear this from other people outside the region, like, you know, for a city our size, just the number of intelligent people is outstanding. And obviously that stems from U of R and RIT and all the great schools in the area. And then, of course, the industries around here. And, you know, that leads to my next question, Jeff. So you've been a great entrepreneur. And knowing what you know now and thinking about, you know, trends in the future, if you were to do a brand new startup, what do you think you would do today? What industry would you focus on?
Wow, that's a big one. So, as an entrepreneur, I've got a lot of ideas, but as an experienced entrepreneur, perhaps I'll tell you that I know the idea is almost worthless, and the value comes in the execution. Mm-hmm. There are very few ideas alone that somebody will steal or borrow and make their own and then eventually make a lot of money off of. It's only about how you execute. So in my mind, I'm always happy to share ideas. I think it's at least somebody's going to do it, because I know if I were ready to start that company, I'd already be doing it. So let me give you an example.
Yeah.
I've got an 8 and a 10-year-old now. And we're just starting to get into the regular sports rhythm of activities and music lessons and all the other stuff that they have to go to. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be great to have an Uber for kids? Mm-hmm. Somebody should start that company, you know, with vetted teachers as drivers. You know, you pay a little bit more, but
they'll
shuffle your kids around for you, so you don't have to be a logistics manager. I feel like that has some legs. I know a friend who really wants to do something more in the online wine space. Mm-hmm. I think there's opportunity there. Personally, I think there's, and I have another friend here locally who's building an incredible wedding venue. I didn't know weddings were such big business, but I mean, wedding venues themselves rent for a lot of money. And I think there's opportunity still on the edges of the real estate market. There's tremendous value that you can create. So, you know, what would I do? I'm doing it. You know, I'm doing the things today that I'm enjoying. I don't think I'm ready to start a from scratch startup again right now. I think that it's going to take me another few years to really get to miss that rhythm.
Yep.
At this point, I'm really comfortable growing businesses and especially on the exit side. You know, when somebody's looking to sell their business, what a great opportunity for somebody else to come in and create even more value. I feel like that's a great opportunity as well.
Excellent. I think you're sandbagging a little bit. I think you got your next thing and you're keeping it to yourself. And that's okay. That's okay. I understand. Yeah. You're going to be the guy that builds tree houses for people. I don't know. So there's something in there, but I like your Uber idea. It's almost like a trusted grandmother network of Uber drivers, you know? So,
yes.
You know, I'm a grandmother. I'm still a good driver and you can trust me. Right. So I know some parents that will Uber their kids around.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just can't see that right now. I mean, I have young kids too.
Yet.
You know,
yeah.
I have my kids are 6, 12, and 14. And the thought of some guy I don't know driving them around. I mean, but people do it. And I'm like, I don't know.
Well, we do it with our friends and our neighbors. So why don't you do it with somebody else? Because you haven't built the trust yet. And I think building trust is one of those critical elements that Uber hasn't nailed yet.
Yeah,
it's better than nothing. I mean, you'll use it in a random city and get a random airport pickup.
Yep.
I don't know if you'll put your kids on a random Uber, and I think that's the opportunity there.
Yep, absolutely. You know, Jeff, what you know, in your experience working with a lot of startups and entrepreneurs, what do you see some you know, by the time they bring you in, what are some things that you see that they need help with? Is there a trend of, you know, I don't want to say mistakes, but just trends that they need help with?
Yes. Yeah. So the number one thing, so it's part of the Angel Network. We see a lot of presentations. In fact, we've invested last year. We finished the investment earlier. Maybe it was earlier this year. We finished the investment of our first $2 million fund to invest in early stage startups. So, you know, we looked at hundreds of companies to get down to 14 investments. But, you know, that experience has taught me a few things about how companies go through a process of starting and raising money. And I still keep in touch with a number of these companies. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I think is missing from the startup business planning culture today is a focus on the cost to acquire a customer. In fact, one of the first things I'll ask a startup is, what does it cost you to acquire a customer? And if you can't answer that, or if you haven't thought about it, what a great opportunity to take a step back and say, maybe I'm not ready to go ask for money yet. Maybe I should go figure out the economics of my business. And so that CAC, that CAC, cost to acquire a customer, is so critical that I think that's the most fundamental basis of a business plan. There are great businesses out there today that are trying to make it that are negative, there will always be negative profit businesses because they cost them too much to acquire a customer. If you can prove that you can get them cheap enough, it doesn't matter whether or not they're going to buy it for X. It matters whether or not they're going to buy it for Y over the cost. And that's what I worry about. Number one issue that I see with startups today is not understanding the basic economics of their business.
How many blank stares do you get when you ask that question?
I think, unfortunately, it's like a deer in headlights sometimes.
Right, yeah.
So I try to be nice about it, right? But
right.
But like if you're asking for money, you should have already thought about it. So I really think that people need to hear that, because too often they'll go to friends and family that won't be as blunt. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be confrontational. But somebody's got to tell them.
Yep.
You know, like this may not ever be profitable, or you have to prove to yourself that you can make money eventually. So that's number one. You know, I think the number two thing that I've seen is there are plenty of great startups here in Rochester that have wonderful technology and the wrong people leading them. And it's hard to tell a founder that, you know, when you say, great business, you brought it this far, congratulations, go hire a replacement.
Yeah.
That's, you know, not enough people. It's hard for anybody to hear.
Sure.
It doesn't mean you have to leave the company. It doesn't mean there's not a role for you. It just means you might make more money if you hire somebody else.
Yeah, more often than not, the person that started the company is not the person to bring it to the next level.
That's it. Yeah.
Yep. But telling somebody like that, it's like you might as well be stealing their baby and spitting on them as you run away, right? So it's like, what?
Totally agree. Yep, that's exactly right.
Hey, Jeff, we're going to take one more break here for our sponsors and station announcements, and we'll be right back.
Join Gordon Deal weekdays from 5 to 9 for America's Morning News on 1310 WOKR.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-261-7848 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-261-7848. That's 800-261-7848. 800-261-7848. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information.
They had obviously researched every place, not just given me names.
Really? Yeah.
They found me a place for what she could afford, and it was magnificent.
We're now
very confident that she's safe, and they just helped every step of the way, and I can't thank them enough.
So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, call A Place for Mom. This is a free service, and you can trust them to help you.
If you're struggling to find reliable senior living information for your mom or dad, then call to get the free help you need during this turbulent time. Call now, 800-217-1052, 800-217-1052.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Please call 1-800-414-1305 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1305. 1-800-414-1305. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1305.
Canandaigua's newest radio station, 1310 WOKR.
Welcome back to Avanti Entrepreneur. This is Dave Mamano, and we are trying to help you grow your life, grow your business, and bring you to the next level. Avanti literally means move forward, and we want to help you move forward with your next steps. My guest today is a wonderful Rochesterian entrepreneur, Jeff Valentine. Jeff, welcome back.
Hello, thank you.
So, Jeff, you've given us some great things to think about. And in fact, if somebody is about to pitch to the Rochester Angel Network, you just gave them, kind of like an answer to the test. I mean, if they listen to this, then someone, I hope that more people will know that answer right now is, what does it cost them to acquire a customer? And yeah. My guess is 90% plus of any company cannot answer that right away.
Yeah, I think that's right. And it's not because they're necessarily a bad company. And by the way, you might do great without ever knowing the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. But I think if you do know the answer, then you can start tuning your business to run it for the most opportunity possible. For example, you might have a business that sells cars, and you might get approached on a weekly basis from radio stations and from television stations and others saying, why don't you advertise with us? Well, that's great. And as long as you know how much it costs you to acquire a customer and make sure that you're spending enough on advertising to get the customers in the door that you need, or maybe you're spending too much in advertising and you're actually oversaturating the market, that fine balance is best answered when you have some idea of what it costs you to acquire a customer, so you know how much you can spend on a budget.
Yeah, that's great. So I want to ask you too, you and the business owners that you work with, we all have our strengths, our God-given innate talents, some people call them our superpowers. And, my goal in running my businesses is I know what my superpowers are, and I know what I'm terrible at. And I try to spend 90% of my time doing my superpowers so I get more energy, and ultimately it's the best thing for the company. And then, delegate everything else.
Yeah,
and we don't say abdicate. You don't want to just be like, here, take it, bye. You want to delegate it and then set up, systems so that you can inspect what you expect. And, that's why I always encourage business owners that I'm working with is to, that's the goal, is to work on the business, not in the business. Set up the system so that you can go in once a week, get your vital stats, get your dashboard, move on with your vital talents. When you were running your businesses, and even today, like what are your superpowers? What are the one or two things that if all the stars are aligned, you're able to spend 90% of your time doing?
No, it's a great question. It's changed over time too. Back in the day when I started my first company, I was the software guy, so mm-hmm. I was writing code, and yeah. Today I don't write any code. I think the things that I'm really good at today tend to be on acquiring new customers, and the area of either raising money or buying and selling companies. When you're trying to grow via acquisition of other companies, what a great opportunity for somebody like me. I love that business, being able to identify those opportunities, help integrate them afterwards, secure that for that company growth. I love that. I think I do that well. On the organic side, acquiring customers through both inbound and outbound marketing means is something that I've really gotten into. I've spoken at the last couple of HubSpot conferences. HubSpot is this software system, like Salesforce is to sales, HubSpot is to marketing. It's really a marketing automation tool. And you know, this company is now worth $2 billion, by the way, after going public a couple of years ago.
Wow.
Really cool methodology, almost a religion around customer acquisition through inbound methods. I've done a lot with that, and I found that it works. So, you know, I tend to gravitate towards the things that have worked for me in the past, and that's one of them.
You know, I got to tell you, you know, I've talked to you about some of my businesses and business ideas, and you also seem to have a knack for just being really insightful, being able to kind of see the big picture and you know, the proverbial forest through the trees, as they say. And offer some insights that every time I talk to you about some of my businesses, I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I didn't think of that. You're right. I mean, do you think that's one of your innate strengths as well?
Geez, I don't know. It's nice of you to say that. I'm blushing again, but thank you.
A lot of blushing.
Yeah.
But, well, that's probably why you're a good investor too, I would imagine, because you can help these entrepreneurs, you know, because we're, and you included, you know, when you're in entrepreneurial mode, you know, we get so excited, right? We get the blinders
yes.
on. It's the best idea since sliced bread. And oh my God, it's great. It's fantastic. And I start talking to people about, and then they're like, what about this, this, and this? Oh yeah. You know, and
sure.
you know, hopefully they refine the idea and make it better and better. Right. But you seem like, I feel like that's one of your talents as well.
Thank you. That's nice of you to say. I do enjoy that. It's one of the things that I think I enjoy spending my time on.
That's great. So, you know, another thing I like to really help my audience is continuing, you know, perfecting, I'll say, the journey of productivity, of just habits and wellness. And I'm always trying to talk to successful people like yourself and get some tips on like what you do. What are some of the discipline habits that are ingrained in your day, your week, your month? So you continue to be successful.
Sure. Well, I'll give you some concrete examples of things that I've done. And these are some things, by the way, that, again, not through my whole career, but I've changed. And over the last few years, the things that I'm going to talk about are the ones that have really worked well for me. It was probably 10 years ago I first read the book Getting Things Done. And I don't know if you've ever read that, Dave, but what an interesting book. It's all about writing down, literally writing down, the first thing you have to do on a particular project or task list.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to go, you know, write a book, writing down a bullet point saying write a book today is not useful to you. Writing down the bullet point, you know, create a book outline, that's the first thing you might have to do to go write a book. And that's an interesting sort of, that's an actionable step that you can take. And so that's something I've tried. I think I do that subconsciously now rather than, you know, by the method that the book teaches. But I tend to make a lot of lists and I work through a list. The next thing that I've done that works well, and this is more for growth stage larger companies, is there's a problem when you're growing a business, and that's when you have so many staff, you can't see and touch and talk to everybody at, you know, in the company, you tend to lose touch. And the CEO or the entrepreneur, the business owner, may not know what the lineman thinks or what the sales rep thinks, or maybe doesn't know that if you put A and B together, it's going to create something better. And one tool that I've used to do this effectively and to increase communication throughout an organization is called 15-5, the number 15 and the word 5. And it's something like $5 a month per user, but it lets everybody in your company fill out a little weekly report. It sort of automates the tediousness of a one-on-one that would be like, what'd you do this week kind of stuff. Well, that all goes into 15-5. In fact, 15-5 can be categorized into questions like, what do you feel good about this week? What are challenges that you're having? And any suggestions for improvement? And when you start doing that, you create a conversation, a digital conversation amongst not just you and the employees, but you and the employees and your employees' employees and et cetera down the line. And they end up having conversations among themselves. People end up holding themselves accountable. That transparency ends up building a better company culture. And I thought that was a really big change for me.
That's excellent. That's fantastic. Great. What about personal habits? Do you meditate? Do you work out? What's working for you on a personal habit level?
Neither. And, you know, I tried. I have a wonderful friend in Syracuse who taught me. He was so kind to spend time with me and teach me how to meditate. Mm-hmm. And I tried. I believe that I tried. My wife says I didn't try hard enough. But I tried to do this. And I think there's some things that are innate to me. One of them is that I feel like I don't have an addictive personality. Like I'd never really get that into something where I have to be obsessed with it. And I feel like meditation is another thing that's innate to me. I just cannot do. I tried and it failed for whatever reason.
So why don't you think it didn't work? Could you not like just get that 5 minutes of complete focus on something?
I think that could be it. It could also be that the way I visualize it anyway, my brain is always doing something even when I'm trying not to. And it, for me to slow down that part of my brain, I feel like it's a skill that I haven't exercised enough.
Yeah.
And if there's anybody listening that has some great experience on how to overcome what I just said, I'd love to hear about it. Because I don't want to give up, but at this point I feel like I haven't done that.
Well, let me jump in there quickly. So I'm with you. I started meditating this year because on my weekly podcast, I would say almost 8 out of 10 guests said that they meditate on a daily basis. So I said, all right, it must be a trend here. These people are very successful. Let me give it a shot. And I was terrible at it too. I mean, you know, think of the blue sky and just focus on one cloud and say a mantra. And,
right.
You know, 10 seconds later, I'm thinking of like, oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. What about this? You know? And then I ended up, some people told me about some apps, right? Some guided, so the Headspace is one of them, right?
Yep.
Meditation Studio is another one. And it's a little bit better for me because I can listen to the person and they kind of take you on this journey. And so I can focus on that. But to your point, I'm still thinking about other things at the same time. And I go back and forth, but I'm like committed. I'm like, I have to make this work, you know? And I feel like I'm getting better and better. But it's definitely a journey. And I've known people that it's turned their lives around. And not that I need my life turned around, but could I be a little bit more centered and a little bit more focused and calm? Probably, you know.
Okay. Great. I envy those that can do it well. And it's something I'm going to aspire to get better at. But for today, it's not one of my habits.
Yep.
I do have other habits that I feel are... that are helpful to me, though. You know, one of the things that I try to do religiously is take some time away from my business, everything, when I'm eating dinner. We turn off the phones. The kids are standard number one. I feel like it makes them feel a little entitled at times, actually. But but we are like we try to be present when we're not at work. And my wife and I feel strongly about that, and it's something that I think we are actually doing pretty well. The other thing that I try to do is when I'm on vacation, it was really hard for me when I first started the company, right? I cannot completely unplug because if a customer has a problem or a server is down or this or that, like who else is there? Right. But once you reach a certain size, you have to be able to, you have to design the business to withstand you being sick for a week or away for a week. And now that I'm at that point, I'd feel like it's a different type of vacation than I've taken before. And so I really do enjoy getting away when I'm away and being 100% or 110% into it when I'm back.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. When I was first starting my business, you know, I was that guy that had, I still do actually, but I was, you know, the guy, especially back then, had all the they were cassettes back then, but all the motivational stuff going on in my car, right? So now there's CDs and podcasts. But one of my favorites, and you probably know him, is, you know, Business Philosophy. Unfortunately, he passed away, but Jim Rohn, I think you say his name, and, he had a great phrase that he said, wherever you are, be there. And, you know, essentially when you're at work, be at work. Don't let home come into work. But when you're at home, darn it, be at home, you know, especially today. And he was talking about this when, you know, where there weren't even cell phones. So now, I mean, that, you know, work is crept up to the dinner table. Like you said, I mean, you're great in the fact that you put it away. But when you're at home, be present, be home, be focused on your spouse, your kids, whatever you're doing, be home. And then the toughest one is what you just kind of alluded to is when you're on vacation, you know, be on vacation, wherever you are, be there. So when you're on vacation, can you set up the systems so that, you know, you're on vacation. You don't have to check your phone. You don't have to check email. They will call you if someone dies at the office or if there's a fire. Right. Other than that, go have fun and enjoy yourself. And it's easier said than done, but I applaud you for it sounds like you're giving it the old college try.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well said, David.
That's great. So, Jeff, as we wind down here, I'm sorry, were there any more habits? Any more habits? You said you don't work out. And You look pretty healthy, so maybe you eat really well. I don't know. But
I do. I try very hard. About once every year, I go complete what it used to be called Atkins, but now it's like a keto diet or something, right? So no carbs and, but it's something that, it's everybody asks me, do you feel better when you're losing weight like that? And I'm like, yeah, I suppose maybe a little. I don't do it because I feel bad.
Yeah.
I do it because I want to be healthier for my wife and my children. And, it's unfortunate, but there's bad luck all over the place. And anything I can do to, blow the dice in my favor, I will.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's why I'm doing it, and I do tend to, although I don't take the time to work out, I probably should. My doctor tells me I need to. Hmm. It is what it is.
Yep.
So I right now I just try to eat healthy.
So when you're on those no carb diets, you have to give up beer. Is that right?
Yeah. So and you're supposed to give up all alcohol, which is tough because I really got into wines recently. So,
yeah.
But at least I try to avoid the heavy carb stuff. So
that's good. Yes. I gave up wine for a couple of weeks and just to see if I could do it. Not that I'm an alcoholic, but I just was like, I miss it. So I don't drink. I have a glass, glass of red wine with dinner.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm doing it.
Yeah. Yep.
So
it's a balance. I totally am with you.
Yep. So, Jeff, before we leave, we got about another minute here. If our listeners, the Avanti listeners, want to reach out to you for anything, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
So I've got a blog. I spent some time to create a blog on valentinium.com. That's Valentine, but removed the last E and replaced with IUM.
Cool.
So valentinium.com. And it's got random thoughts that I post up once in a while and also my contact information. So that's a really good way to find me, regardless of what I'm doing. And also to sort of read some of the experiences that, people have asked me questions over and over. Why do you live in Rochester? What's it like to sell a business? Like all of these things, I've tried to document so that I have an authoritative place to point people. So that's a good one to do.
Excellent. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for being a guest early on the brand new show on WOKR 1310, the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. Really appreciate you being on the show. Congratulations on all your success. And I am sure we're going to have you back on the show soon. So thanks again.
Thanks.
I wish you continued success.
Thank you, David. So happy to do it.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, Avanti Entrepreneur listeners. Have a great rest of the day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Innovative Talk Radio, 1310 WOKR.